It's downtown, 4:30 on a Monday afternoon. Time for us to talk a little Boston sports. Nobody better to do that than our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Happy Monday to you, Mr. Finn.
Thanks, Rich. I can think of many better, but I'm glad to be here.
Number one on our list, number one in our hearts, as you know. My goodness. So here's my theory. Yesterday, I saw Drew Bledsoe before the game, and then there was this guy out on the field and getting things done, engineering late scoring drives. Did Bledsoe just slip into Mac Jones' uniform?
No, Bledsoe's got a better arm than the guy that was out there yesterday, but it was still pretty impressive. All the things that have been going wrong for them, for the most part, ended up being positives or neutrals, mostly positives yesterday. Probably the biggest surprise is that the line played well. Maybe Mike Gunwinya should be at right tackle from here on out. But Cole Strange is pretty good coming back from his injury. And when the Bills rush, on the rare occasions that did get to Mac, Mac didn't panic like he has been lately and actually hung in and made some great throws. And I don't think many people expected that. I'm not even sure Bill Belichick totally expected that game to go the way it did, but it was awfully fun to see the way that the previous 3 weeks had gone.
Well, yeah, and a great start to the game. But, boy, once they had given away that lead, I'm sure most Patriots fans thought, here we go again. But that was a terrific final drive. And I thought the biggest play of that drive, without a doubt, was from Ramondre Stevenson.
It was, yeah. That was just tremendous catch and run. It was a little bit of a flashback to the version of him we saw last year where he broke a bunch of tackles and hasn't really been that guy this season for one reason or another. I think he probably had an injury in camp. Took him a while to get going, but the guy runs hard and plays hard, and that was the one that made you think, all right, maybe this is not going to be another ending where the Patriots come up just a little bit short or give it away at the end, and that they can actually make the play here that they needed to make. And Stevenson gave them a little bit of oomph there, and Mac made the most of it, the winning touchdown pass a few plays later.
Well, and I just want to see more of Pop Douglas. Every time he touches the ball, I feel like something good might happen.
Yeah, he's dynamic. Just great in space and really quick, and seems to shake off the first guy trying to tackle him without him getting a hand on him a lot of times. I do think he's not in the right place all the time. There are a couple, we've seen a couple instances of that earlier this season, and then there was one yesterday where Mac was going to throw to him, decided not to, pull the ball down, almost turned it over, and then he gave Douglas an earful afterwards. So if Tom Brady was still the quarterback, I'm not sure it'd be in the trust circle quite yet, but with the state of this team, you have to really just give the kid every opportunity, because it's clear he has skill and he's becoming more and more productive here.
Well, and obviously what we've learned this season is if you need a big play at a crucial time, you find Pharaoh Brown somewhere on that field.
That was my favorite stat from yesterday. He had two catches for 51 yards. 25.5 average, and his yards per catch for the year went down. That big 58-yarder, his first catch, was that against the Jets out of nowhere. And every play he's made seems to be a big one. I know those guys, the Patriots players, talk him up too. He's a journeyman, more of a blocker, tight end. He's bounced around a little bit, but you hear like guys like Hunter Henry say that he's legitimately talented and runs better than he gets credit for. And the Patriots have done a nice job taking advantage of getting him the ball when he's kind of overlooked by the defense.
Absolutely. Well, this week it doesn't get any easier as they take on a Miami Dolphins team that's bruised and battered a little bit after yesterday's effort.
Yeah, they got a lot of injuries, and Philadelphia beat them up pretty good last night. It's never easy going down to Miami. No matter how good the Patriots teams have been through the years, they've always seemed to have trouble down there. And obviously, the thing the Patriots would love to do is put together two consecutive wins against the Bills and Dolphins, where I think a lot of people going into yesterday's game, I was among them, was thinking 1-7, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr. And now, at the way they played yesterday, even with some of the issues they had, they got to tackle better against Miami than they did yesterday. But the way they played yesterday, you can kind of talk yourself into thinking they have a chance now. Maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe we're at fool's gold. But looking forward to finding out at least.
Were you surprised to hear that apparently Belichick had secretly signed this contract extension?
I'm surprised it became public because I can't tell you how many reporters have tried to get that information over the years and get nowhere with it. How much he makes per year, you know, I've heard it's around the $20 million range. How long his contract is, who knows. So for that to come out, I mean, obviously it came from Belichick's camp. I think it's a signal that if things do end here for him after the season, they're going to end on his terms. He's made it pretty clear that he's either going to get a big buyout or, you know, he'll be a little bit ahead of the game. It reminded me that when he left the Jets, you know, after being their head coach for a day and took matters into his own hands with the HC of the NYJ, I think if Belichick gets the sense that Robert Kraft wants to move on from him or decides he wants to move on himself, he's going to be the one making the decision on his future, not anybody else. And I think that was just an indication yesterday that he's got things pretty under control in terms of his future.
No possibility of trading Belichick for that first draft pick.
You listen to Boston Sports Radio and you wouldn't get anything for him. I still want him to be the coach of this team. I mean, obviously yesterday is, you know, makes you feel better about things than the previous 3 weeks did, but I still think he's the top five coach in the NFL. The personnel decisions are a whole different matter. I saw a breakdown somewhere the last couple of days. I wish I could remember who did it, who pointed out that they've really had four impact players in their last seven drafts, which is just terrible. And they were counting Demario Douglas among them, who we're still finding out about. That looks promising, but we're still finding out about what he's going to be as an NFL player. So if Belichick could have some, you know, give up some of that power as the decision maker on the roster building, it's really hard to do. And he's 71 years old, and it's tough for anybody to do both of those jobs. That would be the ideal and have him just keep coaching this team. But we'll see how it all shakes out. There's a lot of weeks to go left in this season.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. Anybody want this Red Sox job? Is there anybody left out there beyond Eddie Romero?
It's going to end up circling back to Dan Duquette, isn't it?
No.
The CEO is going to replace me. No. It seems like Craig Breslow, Eddie Romero might be where they end up. Not sure the title for each. Maybe Breslow would be the GM and Romero, the president of baseball operations. He's a guy who's done a lot of good things in his 20-ish years with the Red Sox organization. Well-respected guy, analytically minded, has done a remarkable job of scouting and signing players from Latin America. But, you know, he hasn't held the job, and he's been behind other people on the front office depth chart with the Red Sox through a couple of different tenures and changes. So, you know, there'd be some risk, but Breslow's a really really smart guy. Really helped out the pitching with Justin Steele and guys like that with the Cubs. And he's got the analytic bent that the Red Sox want, but he's also an ex-major league pitcher, which gets him some credibility in the clubhouse. You know, won the 13 championship here as part of that bullpen. So I don't think that's the worst-case scenario. It's one of the more boring scenarios with Romero and Breslow, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's what it is, and that's ended up working out pretty well.
Well, the new-look Celtics open up their season on Wednesday. Certainly when we saw the starters out there in the next-to-last preseason game, this looked like a pretty exciting team that sort of fits what Joe Mazzulla wants to do.
They've Mazzulla-proofed this team, haven't they?
Yes.
It kind of feels that way. The guys who were a pain in the neck to him are no longer here. Marcus, who really didn't seem to respect Joe all that much as a coach, and Grant Williams, who Mazzulla couldn't quite figure out how to use. They had a good friendship, and that kind of hit the rocks a little bit last year. And then, you know, they've got every coach in the NBA or ex-coach other than, you know, the ghost of Dr. Jack Ramsey on their bench. So between Van Gundy and Charles Lee and Sam Cassell. So he's going to have a lot more help than he had last year, and a lot more educated voices in his ear. And he's going to make a big leap forward too. He's been different already this year. He's looser. He acknowledges that he felt a little bit overwhelmed at the start of last year. I still have some questions about how he handles things tactically within the game. Is he going to actually use timeouts when he should use timeouts? Mm. Felt like the game sped up on him a little bit in the playoffs last year. You can't burn out Al Horford like he did a year ago. So there's a lot of things I want to see over the course of the season with him, but I think he's headed the right way, and he's gonna have a lot of people there to give him some assistance if he needs it.
Now, you wrote about this. Celtics fans ought to savor every moment of this 42nd season with the great Mike Gorman on the mic.
Yeah, it's really good in a way. You know, NBC Sports Boston, I mean, everybody wants to, as Mike said in my piece, everybody under basically 50 years old grew up listening to him, which scares him. But for 42 years, but NBC Sports Boston left it up to him to essentially set his own schedule the last couple of years post-COVID and to decide when it was time to walk away. And that doesn't happen a whole heck of a lot. You look at the way the Red Sox have handled things with their broadcasters over the years. They treated Mike with respect. Mike appreciates it. And so he's going out on entirely on his own volition, which is good to see because the guy deserves that. What's interesting is he kind of, without saying that name in my story, said he was glad John Grandy didn't get the job, that he was glad they went outside and hired Drew Carter as the person to be to be Mike's successor and to take on half the games this year. And that kind of caught me by surprise when he said it. I almost said, you know what, he's 77 years old. I might let this one slide. Maybe he doesn't mean it. And he said it again, so I was like, all right, I'm going to use this. You reiterate something, then you're really trying to get a point across. That's the way I figure. But, Mike's going out on his own terms just as he deserves.
And I don't know Drew Carter's work very well, but I'm hearing good things about him from people who are much more familiar with him than me.
Yeah, I talked to him at length for my story, and I think I only ended up using a quote or two because, as everybody in NBC Sports Boston says, this year's about Mike. So I wanted to write about him the most. But I'm really impressed with him. I think he's got to be careful with catchphrases. He had a couple in the preseason, preseason P for Pritchard, which some people like, some people didn't like. I like his calls. He's nice call bucket when somebody hits a big shot that I think works, but I think somebody at the Celtics is going to talk to him about maybe not getting too much into the catchphrases right away and just kind of establishing himself as a voice that Celtics fans know before you get on that road. So, I mean, Mike kept it so simple with that over the years, right? Takes it, makes it, got it, and that was basically it. So I think they want Drew to be a little more cautious about that right away, but I'm really encouraged from what I hear. He's a bright kid who knows what he's getting into.
I think he should find a couple of guys on a team the Celtics don't like and start calling them McFilthy and McNasty.
It worked for Johnny, right?
Yeah.
Back when. I don't know who that would be, though. I mean, I guess it'd have to be a couple of guys with Miami. Is that the rival?
Maybe.
That team, but yeah. He's got all year to come up with a nickname for, Bam Adebayo. If Bam is a nickname enough, right?
Right. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us. Chad, thanks as always. Great talking with you, and we'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks.
See you, Rich. Take care.
Thank you. Chad Finn of the Globe here with us on Downtown.